3,294 questions in the Bible. 77 questions in 2 chapters in the book of Job. Jesus asked 307 questions just in the gospel. Jesus only answered 3 of the 183 questions asked of him. God's not afraid of questions. We ask a lot of why, when. God asks a lot of questions about what and how. I didn't come here today to do church as usual. I didn't come here to check a box. I didn't come here to like do some religious thing. I didn't come here to like, I just want to like put my time in and maybe God will be happy with me for a week. As a matter of fact, I didn't sign up for Christianity to do church. Church came along with it. I didn't sign up to fulfill an obligation. Oh, I'm going to do my duty. I signed up for an adventure. But somehow, I've turned it into this thing that like is, I'm not sure it's what God intended. We sign up for adventure and God gives us mystery. We give our hearts to Jesus and then we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what we did. Okay, let me try to make it real for you. We get married, and then we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what we just did. Great adventure, great mystery. But why do we turn things into this thing we can control? Remember when you learned how to ride a bike? You had to get out of control to gain control. And I got married for an adventure, and I've been praying this prayer. I've been saying, God, it used to be so effortless to serve you. It used to just come so freely. It just came easy. It came like whatever you ask me to do, count me in. I'm going to do it. And then it somehow along the way, it turns into, well, we got to count the cost. We got to figure it out. We got to know everything. And if we don't know everything, we can't make a move. Rather than that adventure that he's created for us and for me, and I'm just going to share today from my heart. And if you're looking for a cute little 3-point message in a poem, I ain't got either. I don't have them today. I don't. I just got like, I got me real and raw. And I know what you're thinking. Why don't you live there? And I don't. Matthew 6. Let me just share some word for you because some of you all say like, man, if you don't get to some word, I'm going to run. And then I'm really going to agitate your soul because I'm going to read out of the Message translation. If you've been in church too long, you know what I'm talking about. You're new. You're like, I don't know what he's talking about. It's cool. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. This is my prayer today, is that each and every one of us, when we leave here, we leave with a wide-eyed wonder. But somehow we cash in wide-eyed wonder and we get squinty-eyed and we get distrust and we get like betrayal and we begin to make idols out of our past rather than push forward to the future. And I want to go back to wide-eyed wonder. That's my prayer. Like somehow it all becomes about obligation rather than anticipation, expectation, and participation. And I don't want more obligation. I want anticipation. I want that expectation. I want that participation that's promised in this book. But our eyes get squinty. Our eyes get like small. Our eyes get like, I'm not sure. I want to figure it all out. And God, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? And how is this going to be? And God's like, listen, you can have all these questions, but I'm not even sure I'm going to answer them. But I'm here to tell you today that I believe the answer is found just going back to like to that effortless, full of life and wide-eyed wonder that Jesus promised. This book promises me life, and it promises me joy, and it promises me all of those things. Why do we cash it in? 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, come on, no ear has heard, no mind has ever can even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can ever imagine what God has prepared for those who obligate themselves to him, but who love him. Love him in effortless, wide-eyed wonder of joy and life and fun. And it's like, oh man, that's where I want to live. How about you? John 15:9. Red letters, Jesus' words. I have loved you even as, everybody say even as. Oh, man. I have loved you even as the Father have loved me. See, most of us can't even handle that. Like, wait a minute, Jesus loves me even as? The Father loves him? Oh, no. God, if you really knew me, if you knew my thoughts, if you knew how far my thoughts were, if you knew where I really was, but no, God's saying to us today, even as, God loves you even as the Father loved him. And so Jesus, in the next sentence, or next couple of words, remain in my love. Remain in my love. Stay in my love. Stay in my love. Remain in my love. And we don't do that, do we? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. I don't stay in his love. I don't. I go in and out. I'm going in and out. I go in and out of insecurity, and I go in and out of apathy, and I go in and out of complacency, and I go in and out of all these things in my life. And I find myself kind of like on his pendulum. Every now and then the pendulum swings through his love. And it's like, yeah. Sunday morning for like a good, 90 minutes, it's like, yeah. But unfortunately, I swing back out on Monday and I hang out there for a while. And I'm just hanging out there just like, oh, God, where are you? God, where are you? Come on. And then we swing back through when we get a little more of his love. And we get, whoo. And we swing back out, and I go in and out. And what God's inviting me in, he's inviting you, and he's inviting me into to remain in his love. and give up our cynicism and give up our skeptical mindsets and give up our betrayal and give up our distrust and give up everything that's in the past that's getting in the way with Him. That's the point. I live so below where He is because I give up my wide-eyed wonder for like, oh, I'm not sure God can do that. What we're trying to do is most of us in this room, we're trying to get to a place where we're self-sufficient rather than God-dependent. And we think as long as I'm self-sufficient, then God's pleased. He's not pleased with your self-sufficiency. He's not at all. And we wonder where God is. God, why don't you love me? God, why don't you show up? God, why don't you meet me? And He's like, well, you're trying to do it all on your own. How's that working out for you? It's not. Is it? This is where God has me right now, and He won't let me go. And then, 4 weeks ago, playing tennis, I tear my calf muscle. And I'm like, God, are you serious? Literally, this is my spiritual response. Are you serious? This is me. This is my spiritual, like, hey, God, I don't know if you know this or not. It's summertime. Have you ever tried to remind God of the obvious? He's not impressed. He's like, yeah, I got that one. I created a lot of summer times, thousands of years before you got here. And then God says, okay, I'm going to sit you down and see if your identity's really in me. And I'm like, oh, not again. God, how many more times do I have to go through this? And about 2-3 weeks ago, I'm like, come on, it's summer. I can't do what I want to do, like Natalie. For a while there, she had to go get the car for me, and I'm like, that's my job. And God says, let me love you. Ah! And most of us in this room, we really don't want loved by God. We want Him to be impressed with us. We want Him to be impressed by our self-sufficiency. And look what I did. Look at the job I got. Look what I accomplished. Look at me. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And so God says, okay, I'm just going to sit you down until you get this again. And then I start bargaining with God, just like you do. I'm like, God, if I get this message, I believe I can get it in 2 days. Have you ever done that? Come on, did you? You looked at me no, I never did. You look at me so holy right now. And I'm like, come on, God, aren't you happy? Aren't you pleased? Aren't you, like, come on, I can learn it. God says, no, I want you to go back to wide-eyed wonder, and I want you to go back to faith. And faith isn't faith until you believe God for something, don't get it, but still believe He's good. Oh, you don't hear that in many faith circles. Where you ask God over and over and over for something, and He doesn't give it to you, but you still say, God, you're good, because that's who you are. And that's where I want to live. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to do. And I want to go back to effortless. We're coming up on 25 years. I've been the lead pastor here, 32 years on staff, and 42 years of being a part of the church. How many of you are under 42? Raise your hand. It's okay. It's not like a disease. I mean, it's yeah. I remember getting this building. We got this building for $2,970. We sent $3,000 in. They sent $30 back. I remember all these risers you're on. I remember pouring the cement for these with my dad. My dad was a bricklayer by trade, worked at Edgar Thompson, and he was out of work. He lost his job, and so he just came here every day and worked until the job got done. And I remember wheeling in cement to put these in here, and it was just effortless. It was joy. I remember working 40, 45, 50 hours a week and just getting off in the morning and coming in here, and because nobody was doing it, I just started vacuuming the floor. Because that was just what you did. I didn't want to be a pastor. I just wanted to love Jesus. You got to track me. I didn't want to do all those things. I just wanted to love him, and I wanted to please him. And I just said, God, whatever you're doing, I want to be a part of it. And so we kept showing up, didn't we, Carl? Okay, didn't we just kept showing up? Kept painting walls, kept doing these things. Okay. I remember when, I'm trying to speak to your heart today. And I remember when they asked us to go on staff. You remember that, Natalie? They said they wanted us to go on staff, and I'm working as a nurse. I'm working as a hospital, and we finally had a few dollars, and we had an 18-month-old at the time, almost two, and Natalie's pregnant. And so they said, we need you to come on staff. And so we were just so shocked that they would ask us. I went and quit my job. And then I showed up here, and I worked for 2 weeks. And Natalie said, are you going to get paid? And I remember the pastor at the time, I remember meeting him, and I remember sitting down and said, hey, I was thinking, do we ever get paid for this? I quit my job, my wife's pregnant, we have a baby, and it was like, I was just so in love with Jesus. We were both like, okay, what are we going to do next? Yeah, see, that's effortless. That's wide-eyed. I know what some of you are thinking, that's stupid. No, it's faith. It's like, come on, Jesus loves me, why not? And so then they said, okay, this is what we're going to give you, and I'm like, that's a lot less than I was getting before. Considerably less. And then there was this great bonus of we don't have benefits. That's a bonus. Here we go. Here's your bonus. You don't have any benefits. It was like, okay. See, nobody trained me to complain at that point. I was like, okay. All right, let's go try to figure this out. So let's go get a job. And so I remember calling the hospital at that time. And they said it costs $5,000 to have a baby. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're expensive. And I said, okay, we're going to go figure it out. And so we just kept doing this. And with mission trips, you got a way to do it. And then we have three kids. And then God says, adopt a couple. And we're like, how are you going to do that? And I says, I don't know. We'll figure it out. See, what I'm trying to say to you is that's effortless. That's the wide-eyed wonder. And we cash it in for trying to control everything. And what Jesus is saying to us here right now is I want you to go back to a love relationship. I want you to go back to just enjoying Jesus for what he intended it to be. That's it. I just want to love him and I want to know him. But somehow we get hurt along the way, and we get a little distrust, and we get squinty-eyed. It's like, I'm not sure God will do that. And then we go, I don't know what the pastor's up to, and I don't know what this is up to, and I don't know what the church is up to. And we start getting distrust rather than just saying, I'm all in. I just want to be all in. I just want to be all in again. And I got these things. I don't even know what these are for today. I'm like, I don't even. You know what the problem is? I think what I try to do is I try to give simple responses. As a pastor, sometimes I just try to say, I want to look at people and just say, stop it. Stop quarreling. Stop fighting. Stop being selfish. Go home and love your wife. No, go home and die to yourself. And what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to treat the symptom rather than the root issue. And the root issue is our hearts are far from Jesus. And I'm trying to beg people, come on, you can read the Bible. You can do it. I believe in you. Try a chapter a day. I do this all the time, and I'm just like, I'm in the stop it and do that and stop it and do this and just try this. And I'm treating the symptoms. It's like when you have a cold, and all we do is we think the answer is chug more NyQuil. I can tell everybody who believes in that right now. Come on. Come on, just get more cough drops. Get stronger cough drops. Get more NyQuil. What's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our world right now, there's no amount of NyQuil that can fix it. And there's marriages in this room, yet you're technically together, but your hearts are far away, and you keep pretending like everything's okay. Why don't we just stop pretending and really deal with the root issue is our hearts are far from God. No, our hearts are far from God. My heart gets far from Him. I live in apathy and complacency, and I live in all of those things rather than just the raw me. I want to go back to Jesus and Him and me and Him. That's what it is. And I don't want to treat the symptom. I want to look at your heart and say our hearts are far from God. Matthew 11. Here we go. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Remember what religion is. Religion is man's attempt to please God. Christianity is God is already pleased by what Jesus Christ has done, so therefore I can please Him. Big difference. And come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many of y'all, this verse is for you? Yeah. Let's look at it in I think it's in a New Living. There we go. Thank you so much. Come to me, all you who are weary. Weary is what you get on your own. And then he says, and you're carrying heavy burdens. And sometimes the heavy burdens are what religious thinking does to us. Not church, religious thinking. Burdens, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. Where's all the guys who did the mulch yesterday and were working outside? Come on, where are you at? Come on. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do. And it's easy to get to like those times and just say, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to do that. No, I want to go back to effortless joy. Like, oh, come on, let's dare to believe God. He wants to do something. Well, mulch isn't spiritual. Yes, it is. Because if you can't care for the mulch and make it look good outside, how are you ever going to help somebody spiritually? That's just my thought. Come to me, and we get heavy burdens, and I'm going to give you rest and take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy to bear. God wants to give us something easy to bear. He wants to yoke us back to Him, because God wants to give us a yoke that's easy and light. And I think some of us are weary because we have this yoke upon us, rather than it's not easy and it's not light, and we need to cash it in today. And I want to cash it in for you and with you. Yeah. Hmm. I don't just want more obedience. What my heart longs for is more revelation. Some of us are so arrogant and proud of our obedience. Look at me. Look how obedient I am. Look what I do. Do you really think the creator of the universe is impressed with that? No, really, do you really think that? Do you think the creator of the universe sent his only son to die on the cross so that you could do more obedience? Listen, obedience is God's love language, but what it is, it's a revelation. When we get a revelation of who he is and his love, we'll get it. Are you with me? Okay. How many of this is helping you today? How many of this, is this helping your soul? The love of God, and again, I don't have a formula, but I do know this. We just got to go back to just that. I hate even saying the word go back. We got to go forward. I can't go back. Like when we first moved into this building, we used to have overheads, like transparencies, shown right up in here. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others will have to Google it later. We just loved Jesus and did whatever he asked. Jesus, whatever you ask, I want to do. Jesus, whatever you ask, I'm in. And Romans 8, thanks for helping me out. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And if we have all this political stuff and nothing. Does it mean he no longer loves us? Let's go to the next slide. Thanks. I'll just skip those verses. Thank you. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels or demons, fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Most of us read that and we hope to get there someday rather than saying, today is my day. We allow things to separate us. We allow, we leave church and we're feeling good and then somebody cuts in front of us or cuts us off on the way home, and it's like, game over. Or we don't get to go to our favorite restaurant, and like we throw a hissy fit. No, I'm serious. This is what we do. Rather than just say, man, this is all God's attention to draw me close to his heart and close to him and into him. That's what it is, and that's what he's doing, and that's what he wants. Come on. But it's his love. So listen, this is what I can do for you. Here's the illustration. I can't make you like a certain food, but I can introduce you to it. It's like if you have a friend that sets you up on a blind date. They can't make you like that person. They just make the introduction. In the same way, like I can introduce you to the love of God and say, it's a pizza with extra pepperoni, mushroom, bacon, some banana peppers, a little bit of pesto. I mean, I'm hungry. And you can like look at it and go, oh, I can introduce you to it, but I can't make you like it. But I'm convinced of this. If you eat it long enough, you're going to like it. The problem is we take a bite and say, oh, I don't like that. I do this all the time. I do this all the time. I predetermine what I like and don't like. People get on me. They say, why don't you like mayonnaise and pickles and relish and all that stuff? I'll say, well, that man created that. That God didn't create that. That came after the fall. And so, but like I tried it all and I don't like it. But you know what? I can eat it. I can eat it all. But what I'm trying to say is I'm going to introduce you to a moment right now that we're going to have as the worship team comes up and they're going to lead us back into praise and worship. And I don't know if you know this or not, we here at Bridge City Church, we really like to worship and we really like to honor God. Matter of fact, if you don't like to honor God, you're going to hate it here. And all I'm going to do is say, there's a pizza for you. And we're going to ask God to turn it around. And I don't know what your deal is in your life right now to be turned around, but God's about to turn it around. I believe that with all my heart. But before I do that, I just want to stop right now, hit pause before I address everybody and say this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you don't have a relationship with him. You don't have a personal relationship with God the Father, the creator of the universe, based on what Jesus did on the cross. Not your goodness, not your greatness, not your hurtness, not all your other mess-up-ness. But based on what Jesus Christ has done, I want to introduce you to God. I want to introduce you to Jesus today. And many of you, this is maybe your second, your third, your fourth introduction, but you've never received, you've never hit like, you've never hit follow. You're just kind of acknowledging him, but you've never followed him. And so I want every eye open and every head up. I want to look at you right now and say that God's inviting you into a relationship with him. And many of you here, you acknowledged, but you haven't followed. You haven't said, God, I'm a sinner. I have put you on the cross. I want you now to lead me in your way. I'm giving up the rights to my life, and I'm exchanging them for your life. That's when we begin to get the love of God. When you say, I ain't got nothing, God says, now you got it. Yeah, and if you're here today, and you don't have a day, a moment, or a time where you received Jesus Christ, him crucified, the only way to the Father. This is what we're unashamedly so amped about right now. And so right now, in this moment, if that's you and something inside of you, you know your heart's beating, your palms are sweaty. You're like, I don't know if I ever did that before, but I know I need it right now. If you've never done that before, if you did it a long time ago, but you kind of got really apathetic and far away, I just want you right now, if you want that relationship with Jesus Christ, him to be the ruler of your heart, this love of God, I just want you very proudly, just slip up your hand right where you are. Then I'll go on. Come on, anybody here today, just slip up your hand. Well, I don't want to look foolish. Oh, man, I'm good with that. Anybody here today? Because I want to do business with God first. Anybody? Anybody at all here today? Anybody here? Okay, now this is what I want to do. I want to, let's stand to our feet. And they're going to lead us in a song, and it talks about turning things around. So we're going to spend some time and allow God to turn it around. How long would it take, Pastor? Depends how long it takes you to turn around. I don't know. I'm introducing you to God. I'm introducing you to this love of God again. And I'm inviting you, maybe there's people right now, you need to get out of your seats and come down front and just kneel down. Maybe you just need to get in a corner over here and just sit down with Jesus and just say, God, I want to know this love of yours. Come on, I just want you to move right now. I just want you to do, sometimes you got to move out of your seat. You got to move from where you are to get to where he is. If I can't move you out of your seat, I'll never move you into the world. Come on, like, let's just begin to worship him. And I want you to just move up, move over, move out. But don't let's just sit idly. I want you to take a bite of this awesome pizza. I want you to take a bite. I want you to say, I'm going to go for it. Even though I may not feel it, I'm going to commit myself and see if he'll show up later. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Just right where you are. Come on, y'all said you're right with God. Begin to stretch out your hands. Come on. Just begin to just open up your lives right like this. Come on. Come on, you said you're good with God. Just open them up. Open up your hands. Well, I don't have to do that. You're right. You don't have to. You don't have to take a bite of the pizza, but just say, God, show me your love. God, show me your love. Show me your love.